Scripture reading for tonight is from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16, or we'll read just the first four verses there, page 1523 in your pew Bible. I'll read the passage, and I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and we together respond, saying, "Thanks be to God." The demand for a sign. Matthew chapter 16, the first four verses. "The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, 'When evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah.' And Jesus then left them and went away." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And his blessing to his word tonight. Incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So last Sunday, I began a series on the last days, a study in eschatology, a big word that refers to the study of the end, eschatology. There is much confusion in this area of biblical study. There are people who like to predict when the end will take place, which Scripture forbids. There are other people who think they know exactly how to interpret everything in the book of Revelation. They know who the Antichrist is. They know what 666 stands for exactly, what all the symbolism in the book of Revelation stands for. There's a lot of confusion bordering on fanaticism out there. It's just a lot of sensationalism. We need more caution and more serious Bible study. That we hope to do in this series on the last days. And so we introduced the topic last time. And we discussed when the last days are. When are the last days again? Are we in the last days yet? The answer is yes. We've been in the last days for a long time now. That's because they began at Christ's first coming. And they culminate in his second coming. The last days cover all of New Testament history. That's right. They're not just at the very end. No, they cover all of New Testament history. And that's because the last days, they're all about Jesus Christ. He's the key to it all. Last time we were together, we looked at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. There the apostle says, "In the past," in the Old Testament, "God spoke to our forefathers," the Old Testament people of Israel, "through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." The Son, God's Son, he's the key to it all. Everything is about him. In these last days, the Messiah has come. He was born. God spoke through him. He won our salvation. And now he reigns up in heaven above. Praise God, through whom all blessings flow in these last days. Tonight, we move on to talk about the signs of the times. The signs that belong to these last days. What are the signs of these times? Maybe you know what these signs refer to. They refer to the increase of wars and rumors of wars. They refer to the increase of things like earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis and droughts and fires and tornadoes and catastrophes. Seems we're having a lot of these things these days. Are we? Maybe we are. Or maybe it's just the media noticing more of them. Not sure. But there's definitely a growing concern for these kinds of things. It's been said that these things are becoming more prevalent because of global warming. How much of that is really true? Again, I'm certainly no expert in such things. But they do concern a lot of people. Enough that global warming is probably one of the biggest issues in the last federal election. The question was addressed to all the political candidates. What will you do to stop global warming? We need to do something, it is said. Catastrophe is coming. Now, for myself, I'm personally not in that particular camp. I believe our planet is firmly in God's hands. Global warming, in that sense, ought not to be our first and primary concern. No, knowing who God is our primary concern. That's not to say that we shouldn't be responsible and do our part to curb global warming and the like. We do need to take care of God's creation, of course. But we do not do that out of fear. No, we do so because our world belongs to God, and He calls us to care for His creation. But as it is, though, there's a lot of talk these days about all the earthquakes and all the hurricanes and all the tornadoes and the fires and the drought and catastrophes. Apparently, they're on the rise, so the media says. Congregation, what do all the hurricanes and fires and storms tell us? They tell us that we are seeing the signs of the times. We're seeing things that God's Word tells us to be mindful of. These are things we should expect in these last days. Our text talks about the signs of the times. Actually, it's in Matthew 16, and it's only in Matthew 16, for that matter, that we find those words, the signs of the times. So that's the scriptures. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested Him by asking Him to show them a sign from heaven. And He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast." You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Tonight, we want to examine what Scripture says about these signs of the times. Let me begin by saying this. Usually, when we think of the signs of the times, we think only of those negative signs. Earthquakes, wars, famine, and things like that. These are signs, these are reminders indicating God's wrath against sin in the world. God is a God who avenges sin in the world. This is just a reminder of that. And such negative signs are not only in nature. Other negative signs are things like apostasy, people giving up on the faith, and the rise of the Antichrist. These are signs indicating rising opposition to God, which we can expect in the last days. These are all negative signs, but not all the signs are so negative. There are also positive signs of the times. The coming of Christ, that's a positive sign of the times. The salvation He won through His death and resurrection, that's a sign of the times. It's all part of the age of Christ, right? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that's a sign of the times. Quoting Joel chapter 2, Peter says in Acts chapter 2 about Pentecost, "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." That too then is a sign of the times. Pentecost is a sign of the times. People being converted to Jesus Christ. The very preaching of the gospel. This event right now is a sign of the times. It's a sign that Christ is on the throne. It's a sign that Jesus Christ is the King. It's all about Him. We're in the last days. So there are all kinds of different signs. Some are negative, but then others are positive. What is clear is that they have been around for a very long time because, well, the last days is a long time. It's all New Testament age. It's all about Christ. So appreciate again, the signs of the times are not just at the very end, in the last week or the last month or the last year or the last decade. No, they began at Christ's first coming and they continue right on to the very end. So the signs of the times were already around in Jesus' day. The Pharisees and the Sadducees in their text, they looked for a sign. Jesus said he would not give them a sign, or that he would give them a sign, and the sign was the sign of Jonah. What's the sign of Jonah? It's his death and his resurrection. Jesus' death and resurrection was a sign of the times, a sign that Christ was going to conquer sin and death through his death on the cross and the resurrection. Either way, it was a sign of the times for their time. So appreciate now that the purpose of the signs of the times today. What is the purpose of all these signs that we see in the world today? They're not to tell us when Christ will return. That's not their purpose. But what is the purpose then of the signs of the times? What's the purpose of the signs of the times today? I know of at least 5 purposes, and we're going to consider them right now. When we hear of an earthquake, or when we hear of opposition to the gospel, but also when we hear of gospel proclamation, what must we be reminded of? Next slide. Number 1, we should be reminded of what Christ has done in the past. The sign reminds us what God has done already in Christ in these last days. What has he done? Well, he has spoken, right? Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. He paid for our sin. He won our salvation. He won the victory. And he ascended on high. And he has poured out his Holy Spirit. And so when we see the signs of the times, we must think of what God has already accomplished for us. He won the victory. He's already won. And so when the ground shakes, when we feel that earthquake, we must think, oh, Christ has won the victory. He's already done it. It's interesting that Jesus dies on the cross. He says, it is finished. And he dies on the cross. And what happens? The ground shakes. It's a sign of the times. It's a sign that Jesus has won the victory. Number 2, when we see the signs of the times, we should think of the future. Christ is coming again. He won our salvation. He's reigning on high. And so, of course, he's coming again. We don't know when. Could be tomorrow. Could be another 1,000 years. I don't know. But he is coming again. Matthew 28, verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Indeed, it will come. The end is coming. Number 3, signs of the times, they should remind us that there is a spiritual battle going on. The spiritual battle, it continues. Which makes sense. I mean, on the one hand, the preaching is happening. Missionaries are sending out the gospel. Missionaries are circling the globe. The gospel is going out. And on the other hand, we see this apostasy kind of going on, right? We see people persecuting the church, people leaving the church. We see sin and evil and rumors of war. And so there's this tension going on in the world in these last days. There's a tension going on. In a sense, this tension is to be expected. In Christ's death and resurrection, and in Christ's ascension, Christ has won the battle. In principle, it is done. We have a victory. And Satan knows he's done. Satan knows he's going down. And so now, Satan is working extra hard. He's kind of like, he's living off of adrenaline. He's trying anything to stop the victory. He's trying extra hard to take as many Christians down with him. Of course, it's of no use, though. He's coming again. All in all, the signs remind us of the spiritual battle being waged in the war. It continues. It comes to a greater climax as we get closer to the day of Christ's return. Okay, so the signs of the times remind us of things in the past. Christ won the victory. Reminds us of the future. Christ is coming again. Three, it reminds us of the spiritual battle. It continues on. And number four, the signs of the times remind us of the call to make a decision. The signs call us to make a decision now. Repent, says Jesus, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ is coming back. Now is the day of salvation. We cannot wait any longer. God's patience is running out. We must choose this day whom we will serve. We need to make a decision before it's too late. Number five. The signs of the times, they call us to constant watchfulness. Basically, we must be ready and we must watch for his coming. We must live with the idea that he can return anytime. We must live in constant expectation. This motto sums it up quite nicely. Live as though Christ died only yesterday, arose this morning, and is coming again tomorrow. That's how the church throughout the ages lived. Matthew 24, verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. Those then are the purposes of the signs of the times. You know, we see all kinds of signs today, right? There's lots of hurricanes. There's lots of floods. There's fires going on in California. There's lots of storms. Lots of negative signs. Lots of positive signs. There's the preaching of the gospel. People are being converted. The church is expanding. No doubt. But what do all of these things tell us? They remind us of what God has done in the past. In these last days, Christ has won the victory. They remind us of the future. Christ is coming again. They remind us of the continual spiritual battle. They call for a decision. They remind us to be constant in our watchfulness. It's interesting that in our passage for today, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were blind to the obvious sign of the times staring at them right straight in the face. Right in their day, there was an obvious sign of the times. The signs were all around them. Jesus was talking to them. Jesus had come. Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles. He was healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. He was preaching the gospel, all in fulfillment to Old Testament prophecy. The Christ was there. The Christ had come. They could interpret the weather, but they couldn't interpret that sign. Jesus was right there. So, do we see? Are we able to interpret the sign of the times? Are we getting the message in all the signs that we see in our world today? They're all around us. Tonight, we are confronted with the most important sign of the times. The most important one is the preaching of the gospel. So through the word, God is saying to us, you are in the last days. Christ has come. And Christ is coming again. Turn to him now. Now is the day of salvation. Keep watch, for my kingdom is coming. Amen.